Most Western Hemisphere nations reportedly would support military intervention in Haiti if necessary. A Palestinian says he's the Pan Am 103 bomber. Good morning. I'm Mitchell Krause with the CBS World News Roundup. Administration officials quoted by the New York Times say a majority of Western Hemisphere nations have quietly told U.S. officials that they are prepared to support military intervention in Haiti if sanctions fail to oust that nation's military leaders. Yesterday, Haiti's provisional military-backed president declared a state of emergency, claiming the need to prepare for an imminent invasion. But reports from Port-au-Prince today say there's no sign of any unusual activity. Newsman Harold Maas in the Haitian capital says a major activity for Americans there is getting ready to leave before commercial flights are suspended in 12 days.
A lot of Americans in Haiti are trying to pack their bags and get out as soon as possible. There are rumors that the airport will close sooner than the 25th. There are rumors that it will close tomorrow, the next day, or a week from now. And a lot of people are concerned. They don't want to get trapped here. They don't want for the airport to close the day before their reservation to leave. So people are moving up their departure as soon as possible.
Former President Jimmy Carter has arrived in South Korea. After visits with leaders in Seoul, he heads for North Korea on Wednesday in a private effort to defuse tensions on the Korean Peninsula raised by the North's defiance of U.N. nuclear inspection requirements. South Korea today expanded its regular monthly civil defense exercise to the whole country and called up 6.6 million reservists for the activity on Wednesday. Newsman Steve Herman in Tokyo says Japan doesn't want any precipitous action, even in imposing sanctions on North Korea.
The Japanese have been counseling caution, a sort of go-slow approach, although they've adamantly stated in the past few days that they'll go along with whatever's decided by the United Nations or among Seoul, Washington, and Tokyo. And it would be a tremendous boost if they could have gotten the Chinese to go along with this. But without the Chinese, the Japanese feel that they are in a more exposed position, especially any types of acts of retaliation that might come from North Korea if economic sanctions do go into place.
The Clinton administration says it, too, wants to ease tensions while pursuing plans for possibly stronger measures if the North Koreans continue their defiance. Europeans went to the polls yesterday to vote for members of the European Union Assembly, the continental parliament that's committed to the long-term goal of European unity. But the results were closely watched in member countries for what they indicated about the local political situation. Correspondent Alan Pizzi is in London, where the ruling Conservatives got only a quarter of the vote.
John Major did extremely badly. The Conservative Party is saying, well, we didn't do as badly as people said we would, therefore we won, but that's sort of damning yourself with faint praise. The same thing happened in France. The ruling Socialists took a hard knock, both from the left and the right. The exceptions were Germany and Italy. In Germany, Chancellor Helmut Kohl did quite well, but that's because this is more of a real election to the Germans. They're going to re-elect Kohl this year. There are German national elections. So they were voting for the party that they're probably going to vote for in the elections. In Italy, Silvio Berlusconi's coalition is probably having a kind of a honeymoon period. The worry is that quite a few of the fascists did get elected to the European Parliament.
In another vote yesterday, Austrians voted 2-1 to join the European Union, and the Swiss turned down a plan to commit 600 Swiss troops to a standby UN peacekeeping force. Rebels in the southern Mexican state of Chiapas have rejected a government peace offer. The Zapatistas, as they call themselves, said the government was blind to the realities of their situation. Newsman James Bleers is in Mexico City.
It's not that much of a surprise in one way, because the Zapatistas and the indigenous peoples have a deep mistrust of the Mexican government. The other thing to understand is that President Salinas's administration is coming to an end. They're going to be dealing with new people, and this could have been a very significant factor in the decision.
A Palestinian follower of terrorist Abu Nidal told a Beirut court today that he was the one who carried out the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, 5.5 years ago. 29-year-old Yusuf Shaban said, "I personally blew up the plane." He's currently on trial for assassinating a Jordanian diplomat in Beirut last January. The claim was dismissed by relatives of victims. The mayors of the nation's largest cities are getting a dose of Clinton administration domestic proposals at their annual meeting in Portland, Oregon. Yesterday, they heard about the president's welfare reform plan, which some worry will drain funds from other vital urban programs. Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalala.
It changes the focus of America's welfare system from helping people get welfare checks to preparing them to earn paychecks. And welfare reform is very much focused on work for paychecks, on work for wages.
President Clinton is due to address the mayors by satellite, and Attorney General Janet Reno will give a review of administration anti-crime proposals. The NAACP is holding a summit meeting in Baltimore, where the head of the civil rights organization, Benjamin Chavis, says America's blacks are facing a life and death situation. Correspondent Jacqueline Adams says one of the issues has to do with the role of a controversial black leader.
At last evening's NAACP Leadership Summit rally, controversial Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan finally lashed out at those who have tried to ostracize him.
I'm not an enemy of black people, but the enemy does not want you to love your own brother.
Farrakhan promised retribution against those corporations which have reportedly reduced their contributions to the NAACP because he was included in this three-day summit.
Chicago Cubs star second baseman Ryne Sandberg is retiring from baseball effective immediately. The formal announcement due in about 3 hours. 35-year-old Sandberg signed a $28 million three-year contract only last year. They came from as far away as Israel for an emotional funeral for Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, the 92-year-old leader of the Hasidic movement that has hundreds of thousands of followers. Rich Lamb of CBS station WCBS covered the funeral in Brooklyn, New York.
Schneerson had been the head of the worldwide Lubavitch movement since Harry Truman was president. Under his leadership, Lubavitchers used satellite technology to spread centuries-old ideas. Wearing traditional black hats and coats, thousands upon thousands lined the roads and sidewalks, roofs and fire escapes in Brooklyn's Crown Heights neighborhood as the remains of the man who'd led them for 44 years were borne away. One man said his loss
probably will create a vacuum that will be hard to fill and probably create at least a certain sense of demoralization.
The question of who will replace the white-bearded, blue-eyed, charismatic Rebbe is one which some observers believe could tear apart what has been until now Hasidic Judaism's most outward-looking movement. Rich Lamb for CBS News, New York.
A Los Angeles Police Department board is holding a hearing today on the status of Officer Theodore Briseno, who is suspended for his alleged role in the Rodney King beating case. David Dow reports.
He has been acquitted in two criminal trials and found blameless in the recent Rodney King civil case. And Officer Theodore Briseno maintains that is reason enough to return immediately to his old beat on the Los Angeles police force. Briseno has been suspended without pay since the infamous 1991 taped beating incident that changed an entire city. He has watched two of his police colleagues go to prison for their roles in the beating. Briseno has always portrayed himself as a force for reason who intervened to spare King from a worse beating. He will make that case yet once again today to a police board of rights, which will decide whether Officer Briseno can once again wear a police uniform. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.